Book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 8 through verse 12 of 1 Peter, chapter 3. Simple title to the study tonight, the message, How to Love Life. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You'll notice in verse 10, of course, the thought that we want to build the message around. If he that will love life, let him and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. How to love life. Tragically today, most folks have become embittered at life. And we are not to love this life as though it were the only life that we have, because we have eternal life and a promise of the presence of God eternally. But the Lord didn't say for us to hate life either. As we look at it, God's been awfully good along this pilgrim's way. I'd have to say that he's been good to me, even though there have been some trials. On the other hand, there's also been so many blessings that overshadow anything else that might have come along in life. And we need to learn to appreciate life. The truth of the matter is, as the Bible said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only did the Lord give eternal life, but he also gave life. He gave us physical life with a purpose. An unsaved person doesn't have real purpose in their life. They don't really have any direction in their life, and tragically, they don't know where they're going. I'm persuaded of the fact that God has place for us, purpose for us in our lives, and we ought to look at life as it is the gift of God and the privilege of opportunity to serve the Lord along this pilgrim way. But I want us to just look into this thought tonight so that we might see how that we can love life and really get a lot out of life. There's several things that are said in this particular text that I've read tonight that would help us, be beneficial to us. We see in verse 8 of our particular text that we've read tonight, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now that word pitiful is not like we often think of it and use it today, but it means that there would be a tenderness in our hearts for someone else who might not be nearly as fortunate as we. But I want us to look primarily, as we think about the thought of how to love life, we see that in our text in verse 8 that all should have the same mind. I want to make application, of course, to the church in particular tonight, that if we're really going to love life, we need to have one mind. I want to share just a few things with you. I am persuaded tonight that we need to be of one mind doctrinally. We ought to be in agreement on the doctrines of the Bible. Now, I realize that there are some opportunity for discussion in certain areas, but when we look at it overall, there are some precious doctrine that we dare not ever abandon. the very doctrine of the church itself, as we understand it from a scriptural standpoint. God intended that there be a functioning organization such as this one is tonight until He comes again. And we need to have that frame of mind and that thought tonight, else we'll be very far afield in our thinking. There is the glorious truth of the person of God. We need to be understanding of that and of the same mind that God is. And again, because of liberal theologians and modern thinking, we have presented by and large in the pulpits of our land an anemic God, one that maybe can handle some things, but He just can't handle all things. I want you to know that the Word of God teaches that my God is self-sufficient. Moses of old, He said, "You tell them, I am that I am, has sent me unto you." And in that is involved the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, and the omnipresence of God. We need to have agreement in our minds about doctrine and be of one mind. Certainly we have to be in agreement on the doctrine of salvation. Persuaded there's one way of salvation and only one, through the blood of the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God was given. We that are saved by God's grace tonight are accounted the children of God, but there was ever only one virgin that was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. There was only one that was born of a virgin, and we could honestly say without fear of error at all that He was God in the flesh, walking among men. And if we're going to love life, we'll need to be in agreement in this matter of doctrine. And I could go on and speak of the varied doctrines of the Bible, but I trust you get the picture in that area. Then, again, we need to be of one mind as far as our message is concerned. We need to determine what God intends for us to do, what message He intends for us to carry. I am persuaded that the Lord gave His mind as far as His plan for the age in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and He gave us very specifically the message in Luke 24. When He said, "Repentance and remission of sin is to be preached in My name among all nations." Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly this is the truth that we need to preach and the message that we need to hold. We need to look at the purpose of the church and understand that we are not a social function, even though we might enjoy social activities together. But our purpose is to fulfill God's plan for the age and carry the gospel to every creature. We need to be in one mind with regard to the church as to its relationships. And that I speak in particularly of the affiliations and associations that we have. Then, I am persuaded that as individuals and as a church, we need to be compassionate. We ought never be hard-hearted nor bitter toward those that are less fortunate than we are. It's been my privilege to travel to a few third world countries, and I never come away but what I'm grateful for the opportunities that have come my way in life. And I realize, as I preach to those folks in Liberia, West Africa, I could not help but realize, my, what a blessing it was in my life that God allowed me to attend a good Bible college and to be under some men that believed the book and knew how to teach the Word of God to me. Those folks, the best they would have, they might, if they were very fortunate, have a Bible that would have a concordance in it. And most of us that are preachers and even lay folks have not only a Bible but several books in relation to the Bible that would make a good library for some folks. They would consider it just a wealth of information just to have in their possession some of the things that I have. Nothing will break your heart like somebody looking you in the eye and saying, "I don't even have a copy of the Word of God." and they're in a place that they're wanting to grow and mature. We need to be compassionate to folks. We need to love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. We're talking about loving life and how to love life tonight. Secondly, if we're going to love life, we'll have to learn to deal with life. We'll need to learn to be a blessing to those who would render evil. You see, you and I have been called to the grace of God. We were called out of the world. We were called out of that life that we pursued before, where we would have rendered evil for evil. We've been called to the grace of God. And not only that, we've been called to inherit a blessing. If we've been called to inherit a blessing, then we ought to be a blessing to those that don't know really what it means to be set free from the bondage of sin and death, nor to have the liberties that we have in Christ and the promise that is ours. Third thing tonight in our text, verses 10 and 11. If we're going to love life, we need to learn to just conduct ourselves accordingly. There are just a few thoughts here in these verses I want us to look into. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. In other words, just conduct of life. Appropriately approaching life and looking at life in the best light that we possibly can. Understanding that others have not enjoyed the freedom we have in Christ nor the benefit of salvation. But if we're going to love life and see good days, we need to learn to refrain our tongues from evil and to refrain our lips that we speak no guile. Just proper conduct. We need to, as he said here, avoid evil. Let him eschew evil. That means just literally avoid it and walk around it. And we need to learn to avoid evil. There are streets we dare not walk down. There are doors that we dare not come unto. We're to avoid evil. And we are to persist in this. Let him eschew evil. And then, in contrast, let him do good. Avoid something, do something. We need to seek peace and then just keep on seeking it. That's in the text tonight. Let him seek peace and ensue it, or just pursue it. Now, I wouldn't ask for a show of hands tonight, but how many of us have given this thought and have dedicated our lives to this fact that I want to find peace and I want to just keep pursuing it. Find this for our lives and stay after it. I am persuaded that if we'll find Jesus Christ in our life, we'll find peace with God. And we can have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. And we just need to stay after it. Never let it escape. If we want to see life, good life, have a good life, love life and see good days. Final thought tonight. We need to be conscious of the Lord's presence if we're going to love life. He said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Thank God tonight for the promise of the Lord's presence. You may have felt alone, but as a believer, you've not been alone. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. There's not been any pitfall that you've come to, but what the Lord saw you and saw you all the way. I think that this is the reason that David could say as he did, understanding that it was the Lord who was present with him, I lay me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord sees, and not only does he see, but he hears. His ears are open unto the prayers of the saints tonight. Another writer said that the prayers of the saints are the delight of the Lord. Oh, that we delight the Lord. Be conscious of the presence of the Lord, for he sees and he hears all things. And the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If we're conscious of his presence, we conduct ourselves aright. We'll get a real grasp on life and a new perspective of life and realize, say, this is a gift of God. It is an opportunity that comes our way, and it really comes only once, to walk this pilgrim's way. And I hope tonight that we'd want to just pursue the good things of God and let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We'll stop our study there tonight. We do.